Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of the How's Your Touch podcast, covering all things Scottish women's football. I'm your host Peter, and as always I'm joined by Matt. How are you doing, Matt?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, I'm alright. What a hell of a week in the SCPL, and just in general, but I feel like there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, there is. There's double game weekend.
Hence why we started the podcast, so we can talk about it all as quickly as possible. But yeah, we'll talk about, because we've got double game week, title race switched around in a good way. Relegation six pointers happened. There was cup finals in the SWF. PFA released team of the season. There's cup semi-finals coming up, and there's more midweek SWFL action. Yeah, we've only got like five games left or whatever.
There's five games left.
Yeah.
Plus cup games, so I guess seven if you include the semi-finals and the final.
My head's fried last season.
And then SWFL 2 has a number of games
left. SWFL 2's got four games left. Crazy.
And playoffs, I guess, actually. So
oh, Jesus.
Eight games left.
I should be happy about that. That seems like a lot of football. How will the players go?
Don't. There's only like... What, there's like three games left, I think, in WSL. There's nothing.
Honestly, the embarrassing league did WSL.
Speaking of, actually, the league, yeah, who cares? But Aaron Cuthbert making Aitana Bonmatí look like a fucking tit. Loved it. It's great.
Was that, well, I don't know what happened in the Champions League.
Did they win? Aaron Cuthbert just absolutely dominated Barcelona's midfield. It was hilarious. I mean, like, she had help. She's not the only Chelsea player, but she scored the goal. Nice. And that is how you determine who had the better game.
Aaron Cuthbert is better than Bonmatí, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it does mean now that Barcelona fans have full started a fight with Scotland. Being like posting photos of like, there's levels to this game, and it's like a photo of Cuthbert being sad in the Scotland kit.
Oh yeah, I saw that one, yeah.
And it's like, well, that's Spain's fault. So actually, if we can blame Spain for that, because you gave us a shit manager. But yeah, just, you know, good for Scotland. Eartha Cummings is back as well. She's unbeaten for Rosengord. Everything's coming up Scotland. And Scott Booth's a free agent. Just saying.
Well.
Certain club that's not having a very good season that is associated with Scott Booth.
Yeah. Fair enough. Keep that one in there. But yeah, anyway, SWPL action to get through. Let's just get started, I guess, to chat about the SWPL 1. So yeah, as mentioned, there was a double game week in the SWPL 1. There were games on Wednesday, last week, and then also over the weekend. That's how
a double game week works. Imagine if we made them play on Saturday and Sunday. Just use your squad.
That would be harsh.
Like, well, still in the uni, you have to deal with it. I imagine they probably play...
I feel like they have a different team for Bucks, but...
I mean, they have about 50 players, so it's probably quite a bit easier.
Just uni kids anyway, who cares? Yeah, anyway, the first thing I want to talk about was Rangers' form and their bottling of the league. Thoughts?
I mean, I don't think they've bottled. There's still five games to go. And, like, if we're being honest, I mean, the amount they've dropped points shouldn't be season defining.
Yeah, no, it should have dropped, like, losing one game.
You should be able to pretty comfortably, like, have a fairly good record against the other two teams in a title race and then drop points once other than that and be fine. Or twice, I guess, now. 0-0 with Thistle, 1-0 with Hearts, but no point.
Pretty poor going. And then second place now, not all that. Joe Potter, who is she?
I mean, they're 1 point off. You're acting all big now. You are acting all big now. And then watch, if they pump you out the cup and then go on to, like, all they have to do is either Glasgow City take points off you, which is happening midweek after a cup semi-final, or there's another Old Firm coming up. Like, one of those two games, if you drop points.
Not in a CDQ.
And CDQ's got it. You also have to play Hearts again and Hibs and part of this. Like, no, it's not over. Glasgow City are still back in it. If they beat you midweek, they're back in the title race. Like,
well, that's it, they're back in it because they've already closed the gap to 6 points. But yeah. Focus on the Rangers. Sorry to start with. They lost midweek to Hearts 1-0, and then really poor performance. And then they were really poor against Thistle for like 85 minutes.
Yikes. I mean, you say they were really poor. They were dominant, and then they were 1-0 up. And then Vicky Essen, gal, what? What happened?
People just fall over.
I died, but what? Just kick it.
Yeah, she slipped, man.
Why? But, like, you could see the thought process of, like, am I coming out? Am I going back? Yeah, am I coming out? And it's like, just kick the ball.
But regardless, like, Rangers had all the possession, but they were not, like, penetrative.
I mean, they still had a fair few shots, though. It's not like they were doing nothing. And they were also 1-0 up, minus a goalkeeping mistake. And then they went on to win 3-1. I don't think they struggled as much as... I think you're trying to make it seem like they're struggling a lot more. The game against Hearts was a problem because they didn't do anything.
Yeah. Like, they also lost, which is worse.
Yeah, they lost, but it's not just that they lost. They didn't lose. Like, against this, though, when it was 0-0, they had, like, 80% possession and like 40 shots and should have won that game about 7-0. Against Hearts losing 1-0, Hearts deserved to win 1-0. Yeah. It's, you know, Hearts didn't concede any huge chances and they created bigger chances than Rangers had, and that's the problem. I don't know why it happened specifically that one time. It's also not the first time Hearts have beat Rangers, and I just want to clear that up for everyone that's been saying that all week. It's the first time they've beaten them in the professional era, but women's football existed before 2015, and there were basically everyone has beaten everyone at some point.
Yes.
Like, the 20 years of some teams have been really bad in those 20 years.
What sort of saying is that Hearts are actually better than Rangers historically.
No. I'm not going to go look up the stats, but Rangers weren't very good.
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
Until they were full time. If you're going to say it's the first time they've won against them, go and check first.
First time they've won against them since we changed the logo to have red and blue on it.
It's pink for a start.
Is it?
So, yes.
Okay.
It is in the brand guide. and also, yeah, but that means that every win this season is the first time beaten someone.
We do things based off of when logos change. That's how it works.
Oh, actually, we had a new sponsor. It's a Scottish Power this year, isn't it? So, like, and it was the Parks before that. So, to be fair, actually, no, we've got a new sponsorship.
It's an entirely new league, yeah. You know,
it's like the Premier League or like the Scottish Premiership when it stopped being the SPL.
Exactly.
Yeah, but if you look up SWPL on Google and you type in SWPL, you know what happens? Doesn't
you get
fucking come up.
Southwestern Premier League. Yeah, SWPL 1. Yeah.
Yes, I've been SWPL 1. It's really annoying.
SWPL Space 1.
Yeah,
it's really annoying. So someone do better. What's it called?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the Southwest Peninsula League might be huge in Barbados or wherever it is.
One guy knows what he's doing anyway. But
anyway,
but yes, point being, Rangers are no longer top of the league where they've been all season.
No. Which is, as I say, they haven't slipped up so much that I'm like, oh my god, disasters.
Well, I was just wondering if you had
Celtic have just been quietly very good and barely conceding.
Especially the past few weeks under Sadiku. Mm-hmm. So I guess we'll chat with Celtic a little bit. The top league, because they won both their games. The first game, midweek, it did beat Hibs.
Just off a set piece.
Wasn't super convincing either. But
I would like to formally apologise to anyone that is a fan of a team that is not Lyon in France, because I now understand your pain from playing Wendy Renard for all this time. I am just... Fran Alonso has just received loads of money for the Houston Dash and more international spots on his roster.
And he just signed centre-back.
And they desperately need defenders. Please take Caitlin Hayes away. I'm sick of it.
This past week, just signed a defender.
Yeah, they've signed Tarcian from Brazil and spent 600k on someone that was playing in Brazil, which wild.
I would take it.
Also, this is a side note, right? Watching the Houston Dash highlights, Scottish players are tactically more astute than American players. They can't figure out how to pass a ball 5 yards. It's bizarre. Anyway, go and sign Caitlin Hayes because I am sick of it. Like, genuinely.
I'm not sick of it.
Getting bailed out by Caitlin Hayes off corners.
Simply defender.
Yeah, she's also a good defender. And she's good on the ball. And, like, there's lots of good things, but it's still annoying.
No, I think, you know, if she's in that, you know, if she's going to head the ball, stop her heading it.
Yeah, I know. And it's
block her or something.
Or score. I mean, Jordan Bochum is struggling post split.
Ever since you said she was the best striker in the league, I don't think she scored.
I know.
Bad. It's
bad.
Bad the impact we have in the league.
I don't think that's why. I just think we've been per top six, but we've also not been per. It's this really bizarre situation where we were awful against Hearts, but against Celtic and Glasgow City, 2-1-0 losses, and in both you could make the argument that we did enough to draw. And it's like, just frustrating. This might be controversial, and I might get flamed for this a wee bit, but I would rather lose 1-0 against Celtic and Glasgow City and be in both games and be competitive than get a sort of lucky 1-0 win against one of them and then get absolutely hammered in the next game 5-0. And look... lost,
but still beat your rivals.
I'd rather beat Hearts.
So you would in Hearts? No, like scenario, it's in they have six points. You have no points. You
no,
would
in Hearts scenario, they have 3 points because they got a fluky 1-0 win against Rangers.
Uh-huh. And they beat you.
Fluky. They probably deserve to draw, but it's not the point.
Okay, but and they beat Hibs.
No, but we're not talking about the derby. Yeah,
but you were saying you would rather.
I said I would rather.
You would rather beat your rivals.
But I'm not that game. That game was ages ago. We're not talking about that game. We're talking about the last week. In the last week, they have gotten a 1-0 win, and they probably deserved a 0-0 draw at most, and they got a win because of a goalkeeping mistake. And then they went to Celtic Park, and they looked awful, and they handed you, like,
or
3
Celtic
goals.
Or Celtic's better than Rangers.
No. but I'd rather compete in both those games. As a sign of how things are going to go in the future, I think competing in both those games and losing narrowly when you deserve to draw is a brighter sign than... getting away with one and sort of robbing a couple of points and then getting absolutely like torn to shreds.
Right, you're more consistent, I suppose.
Yeah.
But surely you would just rather get 3 points. Surely you can but get I don't think, more out I don't of winning
think,
a game.
I don't think for Hearts and Hibs at the moment it's about getting points. Steve at Park Thistle, because it's not about that really now, because we're not going to win the league. We're not going to get Champions League. But getting those performances in and being able to go, like, look, we can actually play them and take it to them. And
actually winning 1-0 also shows that.
Yeah, but they didn't actually, like, the performance wasn't a 1-0 win.
That's crazy.
They defended well.
Yeah, and then they scored a goal, therefore their performance merited a 1-0 win.
But they didn't, like, as in, like, they couldn't repeat that performance. Because on another day, Rangers just take one of the many opportunities they had on goal. Hearts didn't really do anything with the ball when they had it, and they didn't really have it for that much.
But did Hibs do anything really against Celtic?
Yes.
Did they?
Multiple times. It was unfortunate only to be a goal off a corner. And that's my point, is that, like, I'd rather, like, have signs that we are growing and getting to that level of being able to compete with them, actually compete with them, not just defend for 90 minutes. We'll speak about the actual performance, because I think Celtic did a lot of really good, interesting things, especially the sort of the change in how you guys have played sort of from the back, with Caitlin Hayes sort of joining the midfield a wee bit.
He actually now takes the ball with her rather than just putting it long.
Yeah. And a lot of focus of going down the right, which is interesting considering Ashworth Clifford was on the left. Jordan Bokum's more defensive than Ashworth Clifford. Yeah. but, like, yeah, like, 4 of the 5 goals were from the right-hand side. The one that wasn't was because Carly Gerasoli passed the ball to Tash Flint.
That was the Ashworth Clifford first goal was on the left.
Oh, yeah, actually, that's a good point, yeah. Well, but the build-up was from the right, though.
It was, yes. The build-up came to the right and went left. That's how, you know, spreading the play works.
Yeah, and then she crossed it and got lucky.
Yes.
But I think Hearts maybe would have competed more in that game if they hadn't conceded what was a very lucky goal in the second minute. But then at the same time,
I think you immediately start falling behind and you got a big pitch to play on and then you're getting...
But yeah, they didn't look good. I mean, you were there.
No, I was there. yeah. They didn't actually... the Hearts did not look very good. They looked played off the park, to be fair. But Celtic were also, for my money, very, very good. And I'm a big Murphy Agnew fan. Agnew over Lefersky, probably. I don't know if you have, much... I don't know if you have much opinion on that or not.
I don't really. Yeah. I think they're different players.
They are different. But I mean, if your front three is going to have is going to be Flint and Gallagher, then your third choice is between Agnew or Lefersky.
See, I would say that Agnew is more like Gallagher than she is like Flint or Lefersky. So I would say that's the competition.
Like, nah,
I would say that you rotate those two, and then
Agnew is way more like, or the past few games playing anyway, been way more like direct in behind, get into the box, and then you have Gallagher behind them.
In Australia, she was a midfielder. I'm just saying.
Can play deeper, but I think you've got Gallagher is the deep lying playmaker, false nine, number 10, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Hayes is the big target man who doesn't go anywhere near the box and isn't a target man. Lefersky or Agnew is the fast player who, like, I would have Agnew over Lefersky in my squad, basically, is what I'm trying to say here.
Yeah, fair.
And it seems like you don't have an opinion on this.
I don't really at all. No, not really. I don't really care. I think at the end of the season you're going to lose Flint because you'll offer her a big contract and she'll turn it down again. and then next season we'll be having the exact same conversation about how Celtic need a proper number 9 because Gallagher scores a lot of goals but doesn't score a lot of goals in the big moments because she's not a number 9 at the end of the day.
Uh-huh.
I don't think Murphy Agnew is either, really, at the same level that
But if you played Gallagher and Agnew, you'd be missing something.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. So I don't think I think what's going to happen is we'll be having this exact same conversation in 6 months' time about that we had at the start of this season about how Celtic needed number 9 and how they've lost Tash Flint and how it's going to be a big loss. And we'll do the same thing again where we both say that we don't think Tash Flint is actually that good, but then actually she is that good. But it's the stuff that she does that isn't scoring goals that's important, not the scoring goals bit.
Yeah, it sounds like a vicious spiral we're getting ourselves into here.
I think Celtic just need to accept that she'll never love you back. And she is going to go and play in the WSL again next season.
Well, yeah, staying in the top 6 anyway, though. Sky City also won both their games, so close the gap on the top by 1 point to 6 points in the title race again, even though I've wrote them off like 3 times already.
Yeah, they're hanging on in. We'll speak about it more in a bit, but they obviously, I think it's just going to come down to, if they don't get any points in that game against Celtic midweek, next week, then I think they're done.
Yeah, because they would be then down towards off Celtic anyway. And then, but also the big worry for them is obviously Fiona Brown's bad injury.
That's
a major loss.
That is going to be difficult. I mean, Corey Sullivan, it seems like she's back, or maybe she was back all along, who knows.
Scored a goal.
Yeah, she played against Park Thistle and looked like she was as good as she was last time she played. But yeah, obviously Fiona Brown was, she was absolutely on one as well. It's such a shame because like she's had to go through this so many times now, and it's like she's so good and just can't seem to catch a break. And I do think that, I don't think it's necessarily a good look for both Scotland and Glasgow City, because she obviously played a full season in Sweden. They have a summer season. Yeah. And then she joined Glasgow City and basically just was a permanent fixture of the team. And I don't think that her minutes were maybe managed as well as they could be. And then obviously there's the complaints around Scotland and their training methods and how hard they train. And I think that's something that, I mean, it's something obviously needs to be looked at. It's people now. It's not just results.
Yeah, it's far too regular an occurrence.
But the fact it happened just after an international break on a surface that's been criticised fairly heavily, you know, it's just, I feel really bad for her, like, specifically, and it's just, it's a structural problem. I think there's a responsibility of clubs to start taking on board the existing research on ACLs and to stop hiding behind, we need more research, or it's the schedule. I think they need, I think a lot of clubs, and Glasgow City do a lot of good work, but I think a lot of clubs need to start looking at themselves a wee bit.
Professionalism is more than just paying the players.
If she'd have played every, like, until the end of the season, she'd have played 18 months straight.
Yeah,
that's with no break. Yeah. That's like, and the summer, like mid season for her, was Scotland games. So it's like, it's just, it just feels like a lot. And I know that, as I say, I personally, anyone that follows me on Twitter will know that I really don't subscribe to the theory that it's just the schedule. In fact, I think that if you look at it, or if you read the studies, a lot of them say that consistent match load is actually beneficial to prevent injury in the increased schedule.
Almost like get over the like hump of more games, and then it will plateau at a lower level.
And then there's obviously how you need increased gym work and things like that. And I just think that, like, I don't think it's the match load that's the problem. I think some of it is, especially international players, I think some of it is international coaches in women's football treating the international training like club training. I'm not going to go into the specifics of Pedro Martinez Losa's training. I think, realistically, I personally don't think international squads should be doing really anything more strenuous than a rondo or maybe a small-sided game, because I just don't see the point, because you're only going to have them in camp for a week. They join match day minus four if you're lucky. Just, they should just be doing tactical work, essentially, and getting relationships built. And the fact that they're not, and they're running quite a lot, and they're doing a lot of physical things, and then you go and you go from match day international, then you travel international, do loads of work, travel, play games, go back to club, you're doing your rehab recovery, and then you're still doing your load on top of that, and then you've got games. I think it's just, you know, at some point I think it just needs to be a thing of like, we need more strength and conditioning coaches, we need more understanding of sports science and women's football. But City wise they were impressive against Hibs. Again, we probably deserved not to lose.
But you did again.
9 times out of 10 this season, that cross doesn't even come in. Never mind Katie Frayne saving it. It's just a lapse in concentration. Lauren Doran-Barr is not out to the winger fast enough, so she's not on Hayley Lauder, which means that Maya Christie can't pressure Amy Muir. And then by the time Maya Christie is able to pressure Amy Muir's put the cross in, and then Davidson's free in the box, which is annoying because Davidson should be heavily marked anyway, anytime she's anywhere near the goal. And then the header is pretty much straight out. It's powerful.
Yeah.
But it's straight out.
It's straight out.
But yeah, they've won again. I mean, they've shown some resilience to be able to, like,
I would have given up.
Because they haven't slipped up other than in the top games. So they have shown quite a lot of resilience in that sort of sense. It's just a case of, can they reinsert themselves back in the title race?
I know, I struggle to see how they pick up points. Unless I'm right and that Rangers are bottling it, but
we hyped up Joe Potter so much and she doesn't win a game ever again.
Yeah, it's not going to the relegation battle. I think the biggest game kind of midweek would have been Aki's v Dundee United. Aki's winning 5-2, which is fairly impressive for them. I don't think it was like, I mean, 5-2 seems like a big scoreline, but it was like,
because it is.
Well, it is, yeah, haha. But I think, you know, it was not as if Aki's like blew out the water. It was more like the last like half hour or so, I think.
I think they did. I mean, Dundee United obviously,
Dundee United scored to open the goal.
Scored the first,
2-1, then it was 2-2, I think, and then Aki's went on to win 5-2.
Yeah, I don't think. I think Aki's were pretty. I think they looked really comfortable in that game. I really do. I think that, like, it was another game that sort of cemented my belief that Kilmarnock will have been hoping Aki's lost that.
Yeah, no, yeah, I don't think Dundee United,
they didn't look organised enough defensively. They didn't look like they could hold on to the ball well enough.
Yeah, and then the mentality, to say, like, my point on the 5-2 is that mentality-wise...
And the same thing happened on the weekend as well. Mm-hmm. They scored first and then they conceded 5.
Yeah, like, so, once they concede a goal, heads drop. So if you're playing them in a playoff match, you'd be pretty... Yeah, mentality-wise.
To speak on some of the ones in the Aberdeen game, I mean, Jenny Curry will be disappointed in the goal that she conceded. She should save that. But same way, Meganside will be really disappointed in the goals that she conceded, especially just in terms of the defending that was involved in them. Wasn't good. I think Aki's have sort of quietly gone about their staying up vibe. Obviously, they're still in the playoff spot, but yeah, I think that they're all right.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident in Aki's keeping that playoff spot, and then done it before in the playoffs, which is pretty cool. Elsewhere in the bottom six, we had Spartans picking up 4 points in 2 games, actually. So they're now 7th. Spartans are now 7 points clear from the relegation. So I think they're maybe safe finally for now, officially, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, just obviously one of those games was against Aki's, which helps. Obviously you get a bit of a swing there. The 2-2 draw with Motherwell, which is impressive just based on how good Motherwell have been post-split and what happened last time Spartans and Motherwell played each other. So yeah, I think Spartans are looking really good. I mean, Megan Quinn for Aki celebrating her 200th appearance was always going to be either a moment of heroism or a moment of disaster, and it was unfortunately a moment of disaster. I mean, she couldn't have stopped the own goal. It was very much one of those where it's something that happened. It's not like she went but to
obviously
kick it.
It had to be her. It's odds all.
Yeah, it's just how it goes. But the ball just kind of hits her. But yeah, Spartans are really good, and Callie Gibb was involved like so heavily in everything going forward. I think she's not necessarily really benefited from Jack Beasley being in charge, but I do think that she's looked freer in the last couple of weeks, and she was so heavily involved in everything that they did going forward. And
yeah, she's probably getting on to being one of the more kind of like senior type players in the squad. She's been around and played a lot of football, like more regular kind of
one of the old heads at 22.
Literally, right? So like, in terms of relying on someone to like see you through a relegation battle, she's now probably one of the players. If I was manager, I'd be like, Callie, you just step up for the next.
Yeah, you've got to pick up some of the responsibility, I guess.
And she's the kind of player I think who would thrive in that.
Yeah.
Speaking from no experience at all, but like... No. Yeah.
She does seem like she's enjoying it. And I mean, same sort of thing though. So is Maya Bates, so is Hannah Jordan. So a lot of those players are stepping things up post-split as they did last season, and I think this season obviously is more important because this season there was the threat of going down. Maya Bates' finish, just on a side note, wow, that was a very clean strike of the ball. Do that more often. It came after like she went through on goal and she hit one like way over the bar, and it was a poor finish to the point of like commentary being like that was bad. And then she goes through again, and obviously shooting from a similar sort of position, you sort of think, oh, is that still going to play in her mind? And nope. She absolutely took the crossbar off almost as it went. And it's something that I think that is why I've had so much faith in Spartans staying up, is the fact that they've got that, whereas Aki's had a chance with Mason Hope Clark, and she went through on goal. And she actually goes round Alicia Yates, but her finish isn't there, and Alicia Yates gets a hand to it and pushes it out for a corner despite having been gone round. And it's like, I think that's just the difference, is that with the Spartans players, you have that faith in them, and a lot of them, even though they're very young, have the SWPL like experience of, you know, I can point to times when they have done that exact thing and scored.
Speaking of players with lots of confidence in scoring goals, Bailey Hutchison, Aberdeen, I want to touch on that. Aberdeen, obviously, I think they're sitting in 7th now, pretty comfortably up in 7th. But over the past 2 games, Bailey Hutchison scored 5 goals. Now top goal scorer in the league by 2 goals, 24 goals this season for Aberdeen.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
Yeah, it's not an easy task.
And I mean, and she's doing what she needs to do in terms of scoring against all teams below her. She's scoring like hat-tricks against teams below her. And then I don't know how many goals she scored against teams above her this year, but like she has also scored against teams above her this year. So yeah. Hello.
I know. I just think that like it's a crazy run of goals. I don't think she would be top scorer. See, if it was the other way around and part of this all come 7th and Aberdeen come 6th, I don't think Bailey Hutchison would have scored another goal. But
he wouldn't have scored a hat-trick.
I think this is a. I think it's a system thing as opposed to a quality thing.
I mean, the win, it's not her. I think when Aberdeen go up and play against Rangers, Celtic, Hibs, Arts, whoever.
There's a jump.
Yeah, there's a jump, and they're going to play differently when they go up. And when they go and play Dundee United, whoever, they're going to go and attack them, basically.
Yeah, but it's obviously it's an incredible. I mean, like.
Regardless of 24 goals, is mad.
It's yeah. It's with all respect for Aberdeen as well. Like they've got some really good players, but that is like above and beyond anything else. Like that is a crazy number. I mean, obviously,
I mean it's not. I mean, it's probably one of her best seasons, but it's also not like out of nowhere.
No, I think we've been building to this for a while, and now it's just going to be a case of do Aberdeen have the resource? Like Aberdeen women have the resource to put the money on the table and keep her there and get her a full-time contract and get her training and support her career. She graduates in the summer. So this will be sort of the first time that she can easily leave. It's just going to be a case of, can Aberdeen offer her an environment where she ends up being Scotland's number nine? And I mean, on form,
she should already be.
She should be. Absolutely, she should. She should have an opportunity. Yeah, she's
for her to get national team based off of what we know about the call up system, what they do, they need to give her a like full time training environment where she and the rest of her teammates are training regularly, are in the gyms, all that kind of stuff. And then also they need to get top six. And they need to.
I'd really like to see her stay, and I'd like to see her become one of, because there's a lot of other good players at Aberdeen, but one of the sort of figureheads of that side. You know, she's the face of that. She should be the face of that team. Obviously, not just the only face. They have a lot of other good players. You've got,
but yeah, every team has it. Like,
But you've got, inevitably, it's always the goal scorer that you sort of look to for that.
Yeah, and at Thistle, obviously, it's Cara Henderson is always the one in the kit. It's always the one that they promote.
She's the one that scores the goals usually. And it's just how football works.
If you're Aberdeen and you are like making a strategy for the next 3, 4, 5 years as to how you get to be the fourth best team, if not, then challenge the third.
I think their aim should be to Aberdeen, be the best team. Yeah, Aberdeen, it could be.
Aberdeen could be, and Aberdeen have the ability to get it as you do the men's as well. Then yeah, they should. Bailey Hutchison should be their like figurehead, local girl, make a captain, number nine.
Billboard still a thing, probably, right?
People still use billboards, apparently, yeah.
But yeah, it's a crazy season. As Aberdeen are set up to serve her in a way that is obviously important, that they have other good players, and that is a thing they do have. But yeah, it's crazy season, and it's probably why they are where they are.
Kind of last couple points from the SBPL one, because there's loads going on. Just because I want to tie you off, 9 points off Hearts, Hibs, disappointing? Or is that like expected?
It's disappointing.
Like, point tally-wise,
it's not disappointing, but it's, as I said earlier, like, in the second half of this season, we've competed in the big games. Hearts have been battered in a lot of them. I am more confident. This is obviously so heavily based on recruitment, so, like, and contract renewals, so it's sort of like, I might say this now, and then in August I might be saying that we're terrible, but at the moment, I am more confident of Hibs next season than I am Hearts. We have a stronger foundation now than we've had in a long time. A lot of the players that are key for us are very young.
Trust in Grant Scott, I suppose, is where we come from.
Yeah, I think part of it is just that I have a lot of trust in Grant Scott.
Well, yeah, that's the rundown of the SBPL one anyway. See, Celtic top of the table, close followed by Rangers, with Glad City not out of the title race just yet, and the relegation fight is still going on, kind of.
Yes. Yeah, it's sort of decided. I think there'd be a lot for Aki's to get back in it now.
So yeah, we'll be right back and we'll quickly review all the SBPL2 action as well. The SBPL2 is also coming very quickly to its conclusion. 4 games left now. Some big games over the weekend there as well. There are still 6 points though between Kilmarnock and Livingston with 4 games to go. And they don't play each other again. Both of them won their games this weekend, if you're interested, I believe. So do we think Killy Livy it's going to stay as it is, probably.
I think we've thought that for a while now.
Well, I was kind of thinking that it's SBPL 2 and thinking it happened.
You're trying to actually, like, hype thing. I think SBPL is done. I don't.
Just call it.
I say end it now. I don't think there's much that, you know, 4 points is nothing. It is really not much. But I just can't see it.
Yeah.
Especially this season, SBPL 2, where...
Just given they don't play each other again, I don't see where this sixth set swing comes.
We've never really mentioned this, but nobody has scored a lot this season in SBPL 2. It's been very...
Apart from LA Gain.
Yeah. Like, the next top scorer has 11.
Is that not also Callahan from Queen's Park? Yeah.
And then I think Jordan McClintock maybe also has 11. But like,
yeah, Ellie Kane scored 30 goals and everyone else like, oh, fuck hell.
Yeah, no one's really done. And like, we're not having a season where there's like, there's not a real like star player for either team that is going to, or especially for Livingston, that's going to drag them. There's also not really anyone from any other team that I think means that Kilmarnock is going to necessarily drop loads of points between now and the end of the season, because they're not. Yeah, I can't see much. I mean, Livingston obviously showed a lot of fight to beat St. Johnstone on the weekend, and Kilmarnock showed less fight to beat Stirling and Ayrshire. But yeah, I think that you're probably looking at.
Yeah, I think I was looking at the fixtures remaining, and that's what I was thinking, will it happen? And I realised they don't play each other again, and that, in my mind, that cemented it for me, that I was like, they don't play each other again.
The only thing to like really know, they both have to play Queen's Park and Garcairn, and that's probably the games where you're like, that's where they would drop points if they're going to drop points. But then it's like, Livy Queen's Park on the last day of the season, Queen's Park might be on the beach. Like, literally on the beach as well.
They might show up for the game.
They might be in Lanzarote. They might just be sipping on pina coladas. So, like, potentially. Or I guess Ibiza's more trendy because they're all our age, not not like 60. So probably not Lanzarote.
I'm not a pina colada either.
They might join my grandparents on a cruise. But yeah, you know, I think that it's probably looking like it's set. I think Livingston or Kelly, whichever one gets into the playoff, like if there is a change, I don't think it makes much difference to the quality of team in the playoff. I think they're both sort of a very similar vibe of like, they are as good as each other ish.
And we're going to get to have a chat about really bad plastic pitches in the SVPL 1 next year.
I mean, we already can talk about that. But just we can talk about that with your club if you want. Like, we can talk about that with nearly every team in the league, let's be honest. Everyone, they've got a reputation, but they play at the men's grounds permanently, which is...
because they've got a plastic pitch, they can play the games which is without why any
you,
issue.
Yeah, it's why you do it. It's nice to see, I guess. I'm kind of ambivalent. I don't really care who goes up out of the two of them. to be honest, I don't think either of them will, because I think they're both... I think Aki's a... like, yeah, Aki's just look really good.
I do think Aki's in a walk game when like after extra time or penalties somewhere.
I don't even think it'll be that. I don't even think I genuinely think Aki's look really good. Aki's look recently as good as Spartans.
Yeah,
and obviously Spartans beat them fairly comfortably, but like,
just get a couple of emergency loans in from SVPL 1 clubs as well for Aki's, and that seems to be what everyone else does.
Like the SPFL playoff, just like properly just screw over. technically, I guess the Killy players probably aren't. They will be on professional contracts, so they won't be able to poach any of them before the game. Just go through and just be like, "Oh, hi, Lucy Burns. You play for us now?" I think Killy are good, and they've got a lot of strong characters in the squad that'll keep them grounded. So I think that they'll probably end up coming second. I don't know if with the form that Aki's are in and how they've been playing, I don't think I'd be backing anyone to beat them.
Well. You also be positive to know that they believe that's Garcairn officially out of the promotion race.
Yeah.
12 points to go.
On that note, actually, Motherwell tweeted that they'd officially stayed up, and I thought it was quite funny, because it's like...
that could not have been Motherwell's aim.
But also just like, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, it's not close.
No. Well, yeah, speaking of staying up, Glasgow Women, 4 points now clear of Stirling Uni in last place. Those two do play each other again soon, so that could change things.
And Stirling Uni do also have to play the top teams.
Yeah.
I
would say Stirling Uni, I mean, we've talked about it a couple past times as well, like, Stirling to go in Championship is not necessarily, like, surprising, given it's literally a university.
Yeah, I don't think. And they also lost all their... other than, like, Karen McGorm and Athena Varnava, who are both
very good. Like, they're very competitive, and they very much believe that they have every right, and they do have every right to be in the SVPL.
Mm-hmm.
And if you levy that at them that, oh, it's fine to go to Championship because you're a development club.
Oh, they
are pissy about it, so sorry. Yeah. But like,
if we said that, they would hit us. They would
why I say it. Faceless on the podcast. Yeah. I don't know.
But I think, I mean, it's not a surprise. Losing Shannon McPhail when you can't really replace her was a big deal. Did score the goals that kept them up, essentially, and then scored the goals that helped the Western Isles get a silver medal at the Island Games.
Yeah,
what an icon. But yeah, it's not a surprise. It's not the end of the world for them.
No.
If anything, they'll probably have quite a good time in the Championship because no one seems to be able to win consistently. Everyone seems to just lose and draw all the time.
Yeah. That would be quite a good place in the Championship, to be fair, because obviously the Championship, the way it is, not professional, etc. They've probably trained more than a lot of other clubs in the Championship, to be fair.
That is also true. And they've got a full international.
Yeah.
In Athena Varnava.
If they keep them all anyway, that is. Athena Varnava, presumably she stays at uni.
I have no idea if she's in fourth year or not, as well, which doesn't really help.
Unsurprisingly, don't follow people's university careers, though.
No, the only one I know is because Bailey Hutchison, because it was in the Press and Journal.
Yeah, we've all been waiting to find out when she finally graduates, so she can leave. Yeah. But then, yeah, well, anyway, still uni. 4 points probably going to go down. Glasgow Women in the playoff match, which is looking like it's going to be against Ayr United. Unless they win 10-0 and Rothfield lose 10-0. Yeah, Ayr United in the playoffs.
I know you know more than me.
I know little about, if anything, about Ayr United, other than that Ayr United did just beat Rothfield 2-1 to stop them in the league.
It would be nice if Kilmarnock go up and Ayr United also go up, because it would be balanced.
Yeah, it's like 2 up, 2 down.
Especially if Aki's go down, because that's...
Like two down, two up, two down, two up.
Yeah. We're in Hamilton. No, you're in Glasgow, right? So that's a Glasgow a Glasgow team going down, a Glasgow team going into the league, and then an Ayr team going up, and an Ayr team going into the league. It's balance.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Fair enough.
What's the thing with furniture?
Over here, like.
The thing with furniture.
Feng Shui.
Feng Shui,
the Feng Shui of the SAPL requires
we need an
certain proportions of Ayr teams going
up. One Ayrshire team per league. I don't know much about Ayr.
It's hard to say, because everyone beats everyone. Mm-hmm. And Ayr United beat Rossvale last weekend, or a couple of weeks ago, which stopped Rossvale winning the league. But then, like, is that because Ayr United are good and Rossvale had a poor
Rossvale game? And saying all this, Kim Ramsey's really good, and... like it'll take a striker to really test her. So you know, it's gonna be,
and it's that way. Playoff games like that are always stacked heavily against the team trying to come up. Like the way that I think statistically wise, it's harder in the playoffs.
Well, they have to play a team that's better than them.
Yeah. Yes. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. The team's above them.
I thought you meant like, as in like, it's unfair. Like, no, it's not unfair. Scheduling is unfair. No. I was like, not really. Like,
I think if you went over the history of every league in the world doing these type of pyramid style playoffs, the team's going up, I think, more often. Anyway, if a Glasgow win doing that, and then if you're a SVPL 2 fan, you should keep an eye out for Rossvale. They're going up, probably, assuming they win that game. Not and don't lose 10-0. But they, congratulations to them, most recently just won the Scottish Championship and League One Cup, it's called. You don't know why it's called that?
Because it's the cup between the Scottish Championship and League One.
Yes.
Sometimes you talk to me like I'm dumb, and we went to the same university and got the same grade.
Shout out Kim Murphy at SUBF for putting together a tournament and making it very clear in the headline what it is.
I feel like she had help.
Yeah, probably.
Can't imagine it was
just like things being very clear as to what they are. Yeah. All of this, you know, Scottish Cup, does that mean everybody in it?
Or Scotland Cup, if you're James Tavernier.
Every league in Scotland in a cup. I don't know what it is.
I feel like you just totally breezed over what I just said, but it's fine. Scotland Cup, if you're James Tavernier. Did you not see his Instagram post? He put on his story and it said Scotland Cup. It was really funny.
But yeah, shout out Ross Rowland, that one.
Do you know why it's not called that? Because it doesn't roll off the tongue at all.
That's the Championship and League One Cup.
No, but I think I've ever seen anyone call it that. I think I've just seen it called like SWF Cup.
Well, you can call it, but then there's the SWF L Cup,
mm-hmm.
which was won by Glen Office Trollers.
Against McDermott
Ladies, yes. Mm-hmm. And then there's also the week before the SWF L Plate, which Linlithgow Rose won.
That's the one that they play between the people that got knocked out of the cup, right?
I believe so, yeah.
So it's kind of like embarrassing to win it.
God. It's a good thing, Linlithgow Rose. Nice job winning
No, I'm sure they're very proud. They're also,
there's a lot of trophies going on in the SWF.
You're the best loser, so. If you want to.
You couldn't win the one next week, but here's a plate.
I don't really understand why is it trophies and plates? I never understood that. Why did we not just do trophies and then smaller trophies? Also, what are pennants for? See, these are the questions about football that I don't understand.
Hence why we stick to...
I had to explain what a pennant was the other day, and I was just like, it's like a triangle kind of flag thing with a badge on it, and then they swap them before the game because they're captains and in respect.
Comes from a historical thing.
Again, like, why is it a plate? What's the difference between a plate and a shield?
Next time we have Kim on, you've got to be on as well, because these are the questions I would not have asked. You're asking, why is it a plate? Why is it a shield? What's a pennant? Kim will be like, what the fuck? Why am I here?
Get me on. Give me a kind of rock star. So I'm like buzzing off the caffeine, and I'll just ask her a bunch of nonsense.
Berating the convener of competitions for the SWF about.
We have a lot of smart people that listen to this, so maybe someone that listens to it knows the difference between a shield and a plate.
That'll be our Spotify question. I know what's the difference between a shield and a plate.
I know what difference is between a shield and
you're
a plate.
Some ridiculous answer to that.
like a literal shield and a plate. I mean, like a trophy shield and a plate.
Yeah. We'll ask if anyone knows. Yeah. Please let us know. You can email us, Twitter us, whatever.
Twitter us is a very funny way of saying that.
But speaking of those games, anyway, you can get the full games on SWF's YouTube channel. Full games of the SWF Championship and League One Cup, and full game of the SWF Hell Cup. And then I think there's full highlights of all the games on their Facebook page as well, apparently, which is mad.
That's cool. They do use Facebook quite a lot. I assume that's because potentially they've got more
demographic on Facebook.
I don't understand how to use Facebook as a
I
was gonna say, if anyone's ever checked, we do have a Facebook. I don't think we've updated it in 6 years.
I got scared.
And we made it when we started, and then we just abandoned it entirely. I still get notifications from it, but I have no idea what's going on.
But yeah, so basically, if you can watch that, you see some championship teams. Ross Vale has one coming up, and you can see what you're gonna come up against next year as a SWF Hill 2 fan, not Queen's Park fans. Because you're going up. Congratulations again.
Queen's Park fans, into your time when you get relegated.
The Craig Joyce curse. But anyway, yeah, that's all of the kind of coverage from the SWF SCPL 1 and 2 this past week. And we'll be right back to chat through the upcoming games, particularly the Scottish Cup semi-finals. So yeah, this weekend we've got the Scottish Cup, or the All Leagues, who play in Scotland, playing in a Cup.
Yep.
The first volume of that, iteration of that. But yeah, the two games are at Hampden, which is fun. I like playing games at Hampden because it's the National Trophy, so therefore they should be played at Hampden and stop trying to claim otherwise.
But also, it should be easier to get to Hampden. I don't think it's as difficult as people make it out to be.
That's coming from people who live in the south side of Glasgow.
Yeah, I just have to walk there. It's really, I don't know what anyone's complaining about. but that's a national infrastructure problem.
But
renationalise the rail. That's what you came to this podcast for. Yeah, renationalise the rail and bus services in Scotland. Yeah. Whoever is in charge now.
When the franchising for the Glasgow bus happens, you know, it better be a Hampden one that goes everywhere.
I just feel like it's weird. Whenever I see people being like, oh, it's so hard to get to, I'm like, it shouldn't be. But then I think about it, and like, I went to...
It's an awkwardly placed, to be fair. Like,
I went to Kelvin Grove on the weekend, and I was like, oh, we'll get the bus. And it was like 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's like 10-minute drive. And I'm like, why is it so hard to get across a river in Glasgow? It's dumb. Anyway,
it's really dumb.
Hampden is nice, though.
Hampden is nice.
It's a nice stadium, actually. People underestimate how nice Hampden is. I say this as someone that's been to other stadiums, and we complain a lot about Hampden.
No, it's not complain bad. Less. I also I rate old stadiums just out of like, and I think there's a forgotten art in the kind of running track, because Barcelona were playing at the Olympic Stadium, mm-hmm, because the Camp Nou is obviously getting done up.
Yeah.
Lovely stadium.
Does look nice. It does also mean
Hampden has not got a nice arch.
You can score and you can jump over the advertising hoardings as well, which is always iconic.
Really fun. Yeah, yeah. People said that, but every iconic celebration that Hampden has involved a guy or someone jumping over the hoarding, taking a top off, and running around.
Yeah.
Griffiths did it. The Hearts guy did it that one time.
Sure.
Scotland women don't score at Hampden, so I don't know.
But yeah, no, it's a nicer stadium than it's given credit for. Obviously it's not as steep as it probably needs to be, and it's hard to get to, blah, blah, blah.
And there are two games there.
If you are a fan of Spartans, Hearts, Celtic or Rangers, and you're not at Hampden this weekend, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, simply get there. I think it takes like £5 as well. So looking forward to it. For the first one anyway, which is on Saturday at 12:50, and if you're not at Hampden, it's on BBC One, so you can watch it there.
We're on the real telly.
BBC One Scotland, yeah.
Wow. The real telly.
The second one, the other game is not, but...
August.
BBC One Scotland at 12:15 kickoff for that, and it's Celtic v Rangers. I think Celtic will win.
I don't think you need to do much more to build up an old firm at Hampden, to be honest.
Semi-final
World Cup. Whoever goes through is going to be the heavy favourites for the title. One of them is the holders. The other one lost last season. I think it's going to be interesting. I don't think Celtic are necessarily going to win. My notes are just midfield.
We keep saying I think Celtic win the midfield battle at the moment. Player for player, I mean, Rachel Rowe is amazing. Yeah,
it depends.
But without
it depends
Chris
on
McLean,
yeah,
I've said that since Chris McLean got injured, but like, and that's maybe part of my like but question they, marks over Rangers is their midfield is
they
like
they can now play Midag in midfield because McLaughlin's back.
That's true.
And that helps. That does make a huge difference, I think, to how their midfield looks, as opposed to if it was McLaughlin.
But I think, well, suddenly now I've got that midfield three that's seemingly pretty set of, like, Ross Kavanagh and Shen.
Mm-hmm.
With Lee Robertson coming back into it, which is fun.
I don't think we'll see much of her.
I don't think we'll see an all-firm match necessarily, no.
Not yet.
But those three, then with Amy Gallagher dropping back as well.
Mm-hmm. If she's fit.
If she's fit, oh my god, I forgot about her being injured.
Yep. So, like, that's the big thing, is, like, is Amy G fit?
If not, I actually generally had slipped my mind just there. Now I'm really worried.
If she's not, then you've obviously got, you know, the same team that played on the weekend.
Murphy Agnew plays like Amy Gallagher.
Murphy Agnew literally played midfield for a full season in Australia. I just, like, is it not even, like, attacking midfield, like, central midfield.
But no, without Amy G, I'd be
nervous. I think that it's an interesting matchup now, because I see so many of the same sort of principles in both teams applied in very different ways.
Yeah.
Like, the difference in terms of, like, when McLaughlin goes forward and goes into midfield from right centre-back, it's not the same as when Caitlin Hayes does it, even though it's the same thing, if that makes sense. Like, Caitlin Hayes does it and she is going forward to become an attacking threat, a goal threat. McLaughlin does it and goes forward and goes wide, so it's Nick Dogg. And they provide pressure out wide so that the wingers can go, or the wing-backs can go inside. It has really annoyed me seeing everyone start describing wing-backs as wingers because of how high up they're playing. Like, Ashworth Clifford is a wing-back. She's not a winger. Just annoys me because, like, you wouldn't set up a team with only three defenders in it.
Back on track.
Yeah, but yeah, I think it'll be interesting. It's definitely, it's the closest the two teams have been tactically. And if they go play for player, then it's just going to be who's on form. Because if Rachel Rowe turns up, like, useless.
Yeah, the Rachel Rowe to me McCauley pipeline scares me.
Lizzie Arnott just comes up with a moment of absolute madness and puts one in from 25 yards. Like, how do you feel about only having attacking wingbacks and then having to play against a team that have also very attacking wingbacks that could easily score way more goals because they do score more goals than your wingbacks do?
I get nervous because McCauley's very, very good as wingback.
How do you feel about the fact that Caitlin Hayes has given away penalties in all the big games you played this season?
I don't feel any way about it. No comment. I actually genuinely was confident.
Until you met me.
Until I remembered about Amy G and the fact that we have no idea. She was at the Celtic game the weekend and she wasn't, like, in crutches or anything. She was just walking about, didn't play.
She might have just been rested because you've got to play on the weekend.
Yeah, we beat Hearts 5-0 without her, so maybe that's fine.
Yeah.
So hopefully it was just that. But she did come off injured in that midweek
Mungley
game. Mungley
didn't play either,
no.
She might be fit, she might be not, who knows.
Mungley was also there, messing around. I think she was warming up and stuff, so Mungley seemed fine.
Messing around.
That's what Mungley does, isn't it? Hands about. But
she's just around.
Yeah. But yeah, so that'll be interesting. Probably see how the week goes in terms of players coming back fit will be a big impact on that game. The other one, which is exciting for me, exciting in general, I think, is Spartans v Hearts. It's at 12:15 on Sunday, and that's on BBC Alba.
Because of course it is.
Of course it is. Can I have two games, BBC One weekend?
And yeah, and oh, let's shock. Which one's going to be on the main channel?
Yeah.
Let's grow the game, but only these teams.
And the exciting part about that one, though, is...
it's Edinburgh Derby.
But yeah, well, potentially we could have Hearts being in the final. Could be the first, a new finalist. Or we have Spartans back there for the first time in a long time.
I feel like with our fact-checking conversation earlier, I Hearts might have gotten to the Scottish Cup final at some point. Motherwell have been in one.
I was looking through the list and I don't...
Maybe. To be fair, a lot of clubs it's hard because, like, they were named other things.
Yes.
Like, Hearts were Giuliano's or something for a while. Celtic were Arsenal North, which is a bit tempot. It could be a... Let's say new finalist and assume that you're right. Spartans could get back. It'll be interesting to see. Yeah, it's cool. It's cool that it's not just Hibs winning everything.
Hibs winning nothing, I think, is the natural order nowadays.
It's not really the natural order. It's kind of just how things go up. It's whatever. Who cares? It'll be interesting. It does. It feels a little anticlimactic just because I don't think either side could win the trophy.
Probably not.
It kind of feels a little anticlimactic in that, like, the other side is so strong. It's not like the FA Cup, shout out Spurs, by the way, big up Martha Thomas. Not like the FA Cup where it's Man United and Spurs, and it's kind of like, I can see Spurs winning that game quite comfortably. Hearts could win it. Spartans could win it. They both have competed with the other sides. It's just, I just don't see it on a big occasion like a Scottish Cup final.
But point being, I don't think there's a way in which those two teams get the final.
I just think, as in terms of, like, it being a big occasion after the season has ended, I just think it's going to be, it'd be too much. But it's also, it is really cool. I still think, like, as much as I take the piss and say, like, you should take your medal off immediately, that's how you show that you're a real player, I actually don't believe that at all.
Yeah.
Coming second is no small thing, even if you lose heavily on the day. Like, any part of this a player in a decade's time will be looking at that runners-up medal with a lot of pride.
Yeah, Ray Dawson's goal will always be remembered probably around that club, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then they should do, because it's, you know, it's a really big moment getting there, and life is about the memories. You know, it's good for both of them, and it's really impressive that they've both got to this stage. It's hard to look past Hearts winning that game. But then again, for Spartans, this is their last chance this season to really make a mark on anything. Nobody will be talking about the fact they were in a relegation battle.
It's as big a game as any of the game. Well, obviously it's cup semi-final, but like...
Welcome to Your Touch. The Scottish Cup semi-final is a big game. Yeah, obviously.
No, but okay, I mean it. I think if they were prioritising fixtures, this game...
Assuming they stay up.
Not a Jurgen Klopp vibe of just dropping players for no reason, but like...
Assuming they stay up, this is a huge, huge game. Mm-hmm. And as I say, it's the last chance for them to show... to like lay a marker down and say, like, look... we are a very good football club with a lot of very good players, and they do have a lot of very good players, and a lot of players that could cause a lot of damage specifically to Hearts.
Yep.
And have done this season, minus a couple really dodgy refereeing decisions and Shade scoring an absolute belter. So, like, you know, it's not like they couldn't do it. I just think at Hampden, it's a big pitch, mm-hmm. Which actually is something we repeat quite a lot. I actually don't think it's that big. I'm pretty sure there's a thread about that and how it's not actually that big.
It just seems wide.
It feels big. It feels... Yeah. I think that... I actually don't think it's that much bigger than even like Ainslie Park, but...
Well, I mean, there's regulations and pitch sizes, so it can only be so big.
Yeah, it's within a
I know it's within a range.
That's what I mean. I think Ainslie Park's not very big.
I always find the big pitch thing funny, something that there is literally like...
It's like, yeah.
Regulations on it. It physically can't be so big that it becomes... anyway.
Yeah, it's not... It feels big, though. Bigger, and Hearts have a lot more experience playing in the big grounds because they have a big ground to play in. Yeah. Which sounds like a diss. It's not. It's just... It's a fact. They have a really poor record though at Tynecastle and at East Road. So...
Yeah.
It's just saying.
See.
And they just got absolutely torn apart by a team on a big pitch. So...
They did.
Maybe it's not all it's cracked up to be. I don't know. But...
Yeah. They have two Scottish Cup semi-finals this weekend to look forward to. Both on TV, both at Hampden. It's going to be pretty sweet. Even though there's a Scottish Cup semi-finals on, there is still SVPL action coming out this weekend, and then throughout next week as well. Dundee United are playing Hamilton on Saturday again.
At Tannadice. Which,
presumably, like... that's why it's on Saturday.
Yeah, total side note. Don't announce that week of.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a huge game.
It's a massive game. Hamilton win that. I still don't know really why it's Saturday, but...
I say, it'll be because it's at Tannadice.
There's also on Tuesday, you've got Aberdeen v Montrose. That's a big game. It's a derby, which is always fun. Another one.
According to us. I don't know if they think it's a derby, but
we're calling it derby.
We're saying
it's... You're not Central Belt, therefore.
It's the north. They're both northeast. They're both above Dundee and on the same coast.
Get away over the Firth, and I don't know anymore.
The Forth and the Tay.
The Firth.
Yeah, and
the Firth
and the Tay is the river in Dundee. So
are you past two? Jesus.
I mean, three if you're going from where we are, because they also have to go over the Clyde.
Oh my God.
There's probably other rivers.
How many rivers does one country need?
It'll
be interesting. Aberdeen, Bathurst, always score more goals. And then on Wednesday is when the rest of those games get played. You've got Celtic versus Glasgow City, which is unfortunate timing for a massive game.
For one after, of the clubs.
Yeah, 3 days after a...
the other club that's had a whole week off.
Yeah, it's almost like the SWPL is a complete agenda for Glasgow City.
That's a take. Yeah, City have had 9 days rest, so they should go...
More into, time to think about how bad they are.
Should be able to go into that and be like, we've got the fitness here to take the game, but then also they've got a lot of injury problems. So.
Yeah.
But Claire Walsh is back. They've got...
Lee Brown, though, which is...
They've got a lot of good players, and even like Lisa Forrest could have a big impact. And
not against Celtic, though. James Eel Teller.
Or she'll have a big impact against Celtic because of that, to prove a point that she's better than her brother.
She is better than her brothers, but that's...
It's less embarrassing to concede to Lisa Forrest than it's James Forrest. Yeah, no. But yeah, it's an interesting fight, and you've got... And they've got a lot of other, like say, you've got a lot of good players. We've spoken about it before. Their squad is not small. The problem is that it just doesn't really make much sense.
Yeah. But then, yeah, other games on Wednesday include Podthistle against Hibs, Motherwell v Spartans.
Woo, Hibs might win a game.
Yeah, Hibs will definitely win a game because Thistle are trash.
Might. I said it when the split happened. It would not surprise me if the only time Thistle won post-split was against us.
Yeah, then Motherwell v Spartans in the bottom six, and Rangers v Hearts again. And Hearts maybe do the double.
That's how it works when you play teams twice.
I don't. What they literally played last week. Why wouldn't they play them? And like, why can't they be the third or fourth game? Why?
Because the computer says so.
I just feel like.
Well, go to the SWPL offices, right, and rewrite the code or whatever they.
I don't know enough about computing to rewrite code.
No, exactly. I mean, if it was up to me, they would just pick names out of a hat. Maybe they did pick names out of a hat, and maybe that's what happened. That's how random chance works.
I just don't like it.
Would you rather the SWPL hand pick when the games are, and then in theory could then determine where the title goes based on who plays who and when? No, because you would come up with a conspiracy theory every time Celtic lost.
No, but I just don't think they should. They could move one. They could do the computer and then move games from that. But
they could do. And then that's the exact same thing as if they just set the games when they want the games. And in theory, then could be determined by, you know, who's on the board or what outside pressures there are or if anything like that. So, no, we're not doing that. We're having a random stuff. And occasionally teams will play each other twice in a row because that's how life works. Get a grip.
I'm sorry, man. Jeez.
No, I'm not having it.
Well, yeah.
Don't come for AI. I'm AI's staunchest defender, unless it's to do with art or anything else, writing, or when people pretend that they're making art because it's such a barrier to creating art to pick up a fucking pen.
Shout out to our intro and stings throughout this podcast made by AI music.
You're fucking kidding, really?
Yeah, they're AI.
Did you not just make? I told you just to get royalty free.
No, I just googled AI music.
Oh, you're a ten.
But yeah, there's loads of action that's happened in the SWPL. Loads happening over this next week, including those Scottish Cup semi-finals. And then there's also going to be loads of stuff across the SWF to catch up on, including Rossville finally might win the league.
Yeah, maybe. Might finally win. Maybe. But they've also just played 120 minutes in a cup, so they might just lose 20-0.
Win the game and win the league. Like, it's not hard.
Just lose 20-0. It'd be funnier. Yeah. Really funny if they end up in the playoff.
It would be really funny.
It would be so genuinely quite funny.
Keep an eye on that one, guys. As always, we'll be back next week to recap all the major events from those weekends' action, the cup semi-finals, and then look again forward to another weekend of SWPL action. Make sure you're following us on Instagram and Twitter at @Hajj_, as well as our Substack for longer form articles, and get notifications turned on so you never miss an episode of the podcast. I've been Peter, and I've been joined by Matt, and this has been the Hajj Podcast. See you all later.